Please be seated. Whew. Have to take a deep breath after that, right? Wow. God's so good. Well, I'm going to be talking about how we are sons, and I'm going to be talking about how Jesus Christ, one of his titles is Son of God, the unique and beloved one, and that God has given us the privilege of using that title too, that we are sons of God and we are unique and we are beloved. That's really what the whole Manifestations was about, right? It was about how much God loves us. But if you think about it, how would you get to know a person? Maybe you'd come up to them and you'd say, "What's your name?" "What's your name?" "Joey." "Ah." And then maybe you would ask, "What do you like to do?" or "What do you do?" Anyway, a person, in order to get to know them, you need to know a little bit about their name. And in the biblical times, a name had a much deeper meaning. Parents took a lot of time to think about and to really seek what they should name their children. And the name would often be something prophetic, or it meant something to the person. Like, for example, when Hannah was in the temple and she was praying and she asked God for a son because she was barren. And when she had the son, his name was Samuel. That's what she and her husband named him. And Samuel means God hears. So every time she said the name Samuel, "Samuel, hey, come here, Samuel, hey, Sammy, like we do, right? She was saying, God hears. She was reinforcing the answer to that prayer in her heart. So there is a lot of power and very wonderful understanding that we can get by looking at the names of Jesus Christ. And so the first title that I want to go into today is Son of God. And Son of, you can do a whole study on the word Son of, and there's all kinds of verses. But it shows his human lineage when you look at Son of. So he's the son of Abraham. He's actually a son of Joseph, son of Mary, right? He's the son of Mary. Romans calls him the son of David because he is of the lineage of David. So he has a human lineage from all those people. But what I want to concentrate on is his heavenly lineage as the Son of God. So you can open up your Bible and go to Luke chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read you Mark 1:1 starts out the whole gospel by saying, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the whole gospel, the whole good news is about how he's a son of God. So this, we're just going to look at like little bite-sized pieces today, but I trust it will really bless you to see our relationship with God as a son of God as well. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, this is when the angel came to Mary, and it says, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Because of this, the one who is begotten or born in you will be holy and will be called what? The Son of God. He will be called the Son of God. So the first thing we see here is that it's all tied in with the Spirit, Holy Spirit coming. Holy Spirit came on Mary and overshadowed her in order for this Son of God to be born. And that what was born in her was holy. Okay, just remember that, all right? Now turn to John chapter 1. John 1 and verse 33. This is when John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus in the Jordan, and he actually, in Luke, it says that he says that Jesus will be baptizing other people with Holy Spirit and with fire, right? That's not in John, but let's just read John. And in John 1, 33, "And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me," so who's that? God, right? God told John the Baptist, "Him on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, this one will baptize with the Holy Spirit." This one will be the one who not only will be baptized with Holy Spirit, but he will, there's going to be Holy Spirit come on all kinds of other sons of God. Holy Spirit and fire represents acceptance, to be baptized with Holy Spirit and with fire. So there's a couple things in here. A son of God is holy, right, and has Spirit, and that Spirit has power, and it also has acceptance, where Jesus accepted God as his, God accepted Jesus as his son, and that was the fire part. It was by giving him Spirit, it was an acknowledgement, I love you, I accept you, that you are a son of God. So you're starting to see the parallels a little bit, right, without my even saying it. Okay, now look at John 20, and in verse 31, it says, "But even these things were written that you would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that when you believe, you would have life through his name," or eternal life through his name. We have life through his what? His name. So see how important it is to know what his name means? It's crucial, because in that name is life. So far we see it's holy, it has Spirit and acceptance and power, all right, and life. Now, kind of summarized in, this is all summarized in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, and we'll start in verse 3. "Concerning his son, who was born in the flesh of the seed of the house of David," all right, there's his human lineage, "and he was made known as the Son of God by power and by the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead." So when God raised Jesus from the dead, that's when the power came. And so Son of God is holy, has life, has power, has acceptance, has Spirit. All right, now look over on at 1 John, because now it's going to talk about us. 1 John chapter 4. Do you remember a long time ago we had that, it was an acronym of SAGWAP? Yeah. Son of God with all power, SAGWAP, right? So I started thinking about that this week of, okay, we're a son of God with all power. We are a son of God with all life, so we're a SAGWAL. We're a son of God with all Spirit. Sagwas. We are a son of God with all love. So we're a sagwal. So I started saying, okay, I don't want to say all those things at the same time. I'm just going to say I'm a sag. And so we're all sags. We're sons of God. 1 John 4. But it's really funny if you start changing the end of it and put a different letter there, because even SAGWAP sounds really funny, but SAGWAL sounds even more funny. All right, 1 John 4, verse 15. It says, "Everyone who confesses Jesus, that he is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he remains in God." Look over at chapter 5 and verse 5. "For who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So when we are really concentrating on how Jesus is the Son of God, look at these cool things that happen. We get to overcome. verse 4 says, because everyone who is born of God has overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. When we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, instead of just flipping over it, goes, he is the Son of God. And his relationship with the Father shows the same thing of our relationship with the Father. It is crazy good. All right, now we're going to just take a short look at a specific phrase about Son. That's the only begotten Son. All right, John 3:16. For, you can say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See how it's tying together? We already read the part about the life. Life now, life in the age to come. Now, only begotten Son is a really wonderful, wonderful phrase. And it comes from the record with Isaac and Abraham, where God told Abraham to take his only son, is what it calls it in Genesis. And his only son is the same word as only begotten. And only begotten, the Hebrew is the word yachid, Y-A-C-H-I-Y-D. It can be translated unique, unparalleled, incomparable, darling, or only. This is cool. Next time you whisper to your wife or your husband, darling, you're saying, what you're really saying is you are unique. You are special. You are incomparable to me when you call someone darling. And so when we read those phrases about only begotten, if you substitute unique one, you can see it. I think we're still in 1 John, right? Okay, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. By this the love of God toward us is known, because God sent his unique Son, his only begotten Son, his only Son, his Son who was so special. Now, why was he special? Like, why is Isaac the type? Because Isaac had a miraculous conception just like Jesus Christ did. And when Abraham took him up on the mountain and he was going to kill him, he receives him back as in a figure of the resurrection. That no matter what would happen to him, even if he would die, God would raise him from the dead. So he is unique in his conception and then in what he did. But we are unique not because of our physical birth, but because of our spiritual birth. Our spiritual birth is just as unique as it was for Jesus Christ to have the Holy Spirit come and overshadow Mary. And the holy thing that's going to be born of you is the Son of God. We have this incredible supernatural birth that has happened to us as well. So we are unique ones too. We're darling in God's eyes. We're his only sons. Not in terms of like the only one, but only because they're so incomparable, unparalleled, special. It's just amazing to learn this. So now go over to John chapter 1, or go back there because we were there. John chapter 1. It uses that phrase, only begotten, again here, to just kind of tie it together. John 1, in verse 14, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And he says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the unique one who was from the Father, who is full of grace and truth. That's us too. When I was really studying about the word picture for Father, it's Abba in Aramaic, right? And so you have the A, which is a picture of an ox, and then the B is the picture of a house. So a father is the strong one of the house or of the family. But I also learned something really neat, because there's action verbs that are underneath a word like father. So I go, well, what's the action picture for father? I mean, I get that he's the strong one, he's the leader of the house and stuff like that. So I found out that in Assyrian, which is a comparable language to all the other Semitic ones, the verb means the one who decides. So, when we cry Abba, see, when we cry out, even when Jesus was in the garden, he was crying out to Abba, right? The strong one, yes, I need strength, Father, I need... But he was also saying, I need answers. I need you to show me where to go, what to do, how to deal with this whole thing. So I read a really interesting quotation from Todd White. He said, people are acting as orphans because they don't realize they have a father. I mean, my earthly father was just so wonderful, and I would brag about him everywhere I went. I mean, he was a thoracic surgeon, and I just adored him. So I had a really good father. But what about all the people who don't have good fathers? They have God, who is like the best father that ever happened. And so we can brag on it. We can say, no, I am not an orphan. I am not. I mean, my father has passed away long time ago when he was very young, and I didn't get to have the privilege of knowing him over a lot of my adult years. But I have a heavenly father, and I can count myself as a son of God, just like Jesus Christ. So now, a little another tidbit about beloved son. There are two times that are recorded in the Gospels where God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The first one is at the baptism, and the second one is at the Mount of Transfiguration. All right, so I learned something so cool about this phrase, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. It's what a father would say to a Jewish boy when they were between 12 and 14 years old at the bar mitzvah, where the father would put his hand on the son's shoulders and he would present the son to the congregation and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And what that did, it ushered the boy into being able to start his apprenticeship and learn the business of the father. And it doesn't record it in the word that this is what happened where God said it to Jesus Christ. But when Jesus is in the temple, remember, and he's talking with all the rabbis and stuff, and they're just amazed at his wisdom. And they say, and he says, don't you know that I need to be about my father's business? That was the time where he started not only learning, you know, carpentry and stuff from his earthly father, but he took from the time he was 12 until the time he was 30 as a full-on apprenticeship to learn the father's business. And so he became bar mitzvah. That means son of accountability. Then, okay, the baptism comes. So, now, turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke 3 is where it says that when Jesus was 30 years old, or about 30 years old, is when God says this phrase again. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in the likeness of the form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven that said, you are my beloved son in whom I am pleased. Or this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased. All right, beloved, the beloved part, you can say dear, cherished, be loved, you know, like beloved, right, is to be loved. So, and in whom I am pleased, you could also say delighted in. I'm delighting in my son. Like the baptism is not only about him getting Holy Spirit. It's about God standing up and saying, my son is ready to go forward to do my affairs. And it's ushering him out. Go do this, do your ministry, do what you've been prepared for. I am totally confident that you are ready. And it's very similar to a quotation from, there's a quotation from Psalm chapter 2 about, this day I have begotten you. And some manuscripts add after the beloved son in Luke, today I have begotten you. And you go, well, what do you mean begotten? Because he was already born and we already talked about that. But beloved son is meaning, this is what the psalm says, I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Today I have begotten you. To set, to install the king on the mighty hill of Zion, that's what God did that day at the baptism. He said, you are ready, go. And that's what he did. He started his ministry and he just never stopped until then, the second time that the voice came. So this is the Mount of Transfiguration. So we go over to Luke chapter 9. And at the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear in a vision. Jesus' face is shining, and Peter and James and John, they're sleeping, and they don't get it. But it says that Moses and Elijah talk to Jesus Christ about what's coming ahead, his death, and how it was going to have to be accomplished. So there's lots of cool things about the transfiguration. But in verse 34, chapter 9, verse 34, it says, and when he said these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid. When they saw that Moses and Elijah entered into the cloud, the disciples just could not figure out what was happening. But a voice came from the cloud that says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. The other gospels, one says, in whom I am pleased. Another one says, just the beloved son. And then there's also some variant readings that say, my beloved, my chosen one. Because this is the time where God is announcing his role as prophet and priest and king. From this point on, he acts as the high priest. He does the high priestly prayer in the book of John. He ministers in a completely different way after this point, where it's not just about him being the son of God anymore. It's not about him just being the beloved son who's doing his father's business. It's you have now been inaugurated, so to speak, like a president would be inaugurated, right? He was inaugurated as, again, the father putting his hand on his shoulder saying, this is my beloved, my chosen one, in whom I am pleased. I delight in this. This is what God wanted. He wanted Jesus Christ to be our high priest. Now, just think about it, though. We've said, well, we are sons of God too, right? Well, we can prophesy. It calls us a royal priesthood. We can be priests just like Jesus Christ too. So let's just summarize and go to 1 John. We are the beloved sons. The song Good Good Father is just so amazing because it's who we are. It's who I am. I can personalize it. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. I can totally rely upon him 100%. because he will commission me just that same way as he did Jesus Christ. He will, like he said in the manifestation, he'll hold our hand and never let go. Wow. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And see how great is the love of the Father towards us, because he has called us, even made us sons. Because of this, the world does not know us, because it did not even know him. My beloved ones, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we are going to be. But we know, we know that when he is revealed, we will be in his likeness, and we will see him as he is. We are the beloved ones. We are the brethren, the beloved brethren. Remember back to the first part of the teaching is about what Son of God means. It's holy, has spirit, has life, has power. And then we're unique. And now we are beloved and chosen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll just close here. Second Thessalonians 2:13. But we are indebted to give thanks to God always for you, our brothers, beloved of our Lord, beloved of the Lord. What does the King James say? Or loved of the Lord. Yeah, so beloved or loved. Because God chose you. He chose you. He chose me. He chose all the people in the body of Christ. He chose them to be sons of God with power, to be sogs, sons of God with everything that Jesus Christ had and is. Because God chose you from the beginning to life by the holiness of the Spirit, or by Holy Spirit, and by the faith of the truth. Ephesians says that we are accepted in the beloved. We are sons of God who are unique and beloved. So we need to just get busy being about our Father's business, right? Okay, great. I love you.